Mark chapter 5. We have been teaching now, and this is the fifth installment of a series called Faith Basics. We have been doing our diligence to try to find out what faith is, how important and necessary it is, number two, and then number three, who has faith, number four, how faith comes, and number five, how faith is released. All this information is online. You can get it YouTube, you can get it on Facebook, you can get it through our app, and I would encourage you to download the app. For instance, today now, all the services with Mark and Trina are on the app. It's a very good way to be able to listen, and you have the option of video or audio only, and you know, if you don't want to hear the preliminary part, you can zip it on through and get right to the message, however you would choose to do it. And it's very, very handy, and I would encourage you to take advantage of it. But the reason I mention it mainly is because this information about what faith is, how important it is, who has it, how it comes, is all already on there. Now, it's not the last word, not everything there is to say about the subject, but lots of good information. The teacher in me wants to kind of go back always and reiterate some things over and over again. Sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit wants. Sometimes there are things that we didn't get to say in the past that needs to be added. And that's all well and good, but I do have to keep pushing so that we don't stay here until the rapture. So we want to keep moving. Amen. So today we are talking about faith, and we're talking about how faith is released, which is another way of saying how your faith will accomplish the things that you want accomplished. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful account that almost everybody in the room has heard, probably multiple times. You know something about this Bible story already, but it's not what we heard that builds faith. It's what we're hearing that builds faith. And so let's look at verse 25 of Mark chapter 5 and read through verse 34. And these 10 verses have a lot to say, so let's listen. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray before we get into the message for the morning. Father God, we are so thankful and grateful for the privilege of worship. We're thanking you now, Lord, for what you've already done in this place today. We could leave now and say that it was a good place to be, well worth the journey. But we know, Lord, that you want to say a few things to us from the Word, and we want to have listening ears and attentive hearts. I ask for utterance in the Holy Ghost, and help us all to hear today what we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we are seeing in this passage what was a desperate person in a hopeless, helpless, incurable, and eventually terminal situation, and how that she was able to see all of that turned around and all of that changed simply by the exercise or the releasing of her faith. And God didn't love this woman more than he loves you. We don't even know her name. She had no social or political prominence. She evidently at the beginning of her problems, had some means, but after 12 years, now she's broke. She's worse than ever. And there's no physical, medical hope for her recovery. And now, I don't know if anybody in this room would necessarily be in that position, but maybe somebody is. And I don't know that if this situation of healing would be your interest because you need healing, but maybe you need another kind of miracle. Maybe you need a different kind of a supernatural intervention. But I'm here today to tell you that according to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same today as he was on this day when this woman got her miracle. The power of God is as available now as it was then. As a matter of fact, it is more readily available and easier to tap into now than it even was in Jesus' day. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given in his fullness as we know him today. And so if you were going to touch the power of God that was upon Jesus, you had to get around Jesus. You had to be where he was. You had to go to where he was. He sent out some disciples with anointing and commission, but you had to get in their presence. Now, you know, you can get in the presence of God in your bedroom. You can get in the presence of God in your car. We're not limited. And Jesus Christ is the same. I want to emphasize that. Jesus told the woman, your faith hath made you whole. And I'm today to tell you that your faith will make you whole. Your faith will produce a miracle in your life. Now, those of you who are familiar with the passage, you know the story. The setting here actually begins in verse 21, where there is a man by the name of Jairus, who was a synagogue leader, a ruler of the synagogue, and he had a little girl, a little daughter, who was at the point of death, and he came and besought Jesus that he would come and heal the little girl. And so Jesus agreed to do so. And so they're on their way. They're on their journey. And the Bible says that there was much people. So there was a large crowd of people walking along with Jesus and with Jairus. And they're on their way to Jairus' house for the little girl to be healed and raised up. And it's into this situation that an unexpected interruption takes place. And it's this desperate, sick woman who is at her wit's end, at the end of her money, and she's nearing the end of her life unless she gets a miracle. I don't know that anybody in the room is as desperate as she would have been on that day. But no matter how big or small your need might be, and no matter how insignificant that the devil tries to tell you that you are or your need is, I'm telling you that God is as interested in meeting your need as he was in this woman's. This was not done just to make another nice story in the Bible. But these things were written for our learning, and they are there so we can learn from them and take from their example, and that our needs can also be met. And God has already touched some people here today, but no matter what your need is, God wants to bless you. And so we see that this woman's problem was a flow of blood. It had been a flow of blood constantly now for a long time, and she was worse now than ever. And if you know anything about these kinds of situations, probably she was weakened. She probably was anemic. She was probably not feeling at all like getting out of the house, getting out of bed maybe. She just did not have the physical energy to do all of this, but she pushed herself and did it anyway. Somehow she got it together. And I don't know, we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to talk to her, but it would seem to me that probably this was her last desperate attempt, her last resort. She had no more money, and she had nobody who could help her. This is it. And I know that God is a God who blesses the desperate. I know that God is a God who heals and helps those who no one else can help. And so if you've spent all your money, if you've spent all your time that you have, if you have tried everything you know to try and done everything you know to do, and you're nothing better, the situation is worse, what that means is you're just positioning yourself for a miracle from God. The devil will tell you it's over. He'll tell you it's finished. He'll tell you there's no hope. But God says you're right where I want you to be because I'm going to get the glory out of ministering to your need. And this testimony will be told again and again and again. Hallelujah. Now notice what she did. Very simple. Nothing hard. She first heard of Jesus. Now that's not really her initiative. Evidently, somebody told her. And she was blessed. And I just point this out as an aside here. That's the job of the church, and that's the job of every Christian, is to go and tell. Matthew 28 says to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, the message, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And then in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's our job to go and tell. That's why we don't relent. Now, you know, a lot of us are very blessed people in here. And we have tapped into some wonderful streams of blessing from the Lord. We have learned a little bit about how to walk by faith and not by sight. And we have enjoyed some of the increase of God. It would be very easy to get satisfied. It'd be very easy to become complacent. It'd be very easy to just say, well, me and my four, no more. We're blessed and we're taken care of. Hope the world makes it. But that's not the attitude of Jesus. And that's not the attitude that the church is supposed to take. We are to go and tell. And if you can't literally, physically go, then we are obligated to send. It's the church's job to preach the gospel to all the world. Somebody told this woman about Jesus, and she, I'm sure, would be forever grateful that she heard. She came in the crowd, which was illegal because of Jewish law, of Old Testament covenant law. A woman with an issue of blood was not allowed to be in public, and she was isolated. She was quarantined, so to speak. And so for her to be in the crowd touching anybody was illegal. And you add that to the fact that the person that Jesus was focused on at this time was this man Jairus, who was a ruler in the synagogue, meaning he had some authority to enforce the Old Testament law. She was literally taking her life into her own hands. She was taking the chance of a lifetime in more ways than one. She wasn't supposed to be there, but she evidently had heard what's recorded in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19, that many touched him and were healed. She had heard about this person, this man named Jesus, this wonderful Savior, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Oh, this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. She had heard about him. She had heard about other people who had touched and were healed. Other people whose lives had been changed because Jesus had come into their life in some way or another. And so she just threw caution to the wind. And as we say, she went for broke and she decided, this is it. I'm going. And sometimes you know you got to get that way. You got to forget about what other people think of you. What your family might say, what the neighbors think, or what anybody else thinks. You might even have to leave a dead church to get to a live church. And you might have to go away from folks that just shake their head and don't understand what in the world you see and all that noise and all that carrying on and what's there. I'll tell you what's there. Jesus in his power, the Holy Spirit manifesting to confirm the word of God. That's what's there. And that will change your situation and meet your every need. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm not out to try to please men. I'm not out to try to make a mark on society. I'm not out to be politically correct. I'm out to please God. And I found out the more I please God, the more blessed I am. Hallelujah. God likes noise. God likes shouting. God likes dancing. God likes running. God likes jumping. God likes people who are excited. And so I want to do a little bit of all of that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now notice, after she heard, and we know the law, the rule, we know that faith comes by hearing. And so she had heard, and then it says, She came in the press behind. Now, first of all, this thing of she kept saying. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said. Now, in the Greek, that's a continuous present tense verb. It's not just she said it one time. She didn't leave home and tell her neighbor, I'm going to go and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and that's the first time she ever said it. No, evidently, she started saying this after she heard. And we don't know how many days it was or how long it was from the time she first heard until she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. We don't know if it was a day, 2 days, a week, or whatever, until he got close enough that she could get there. But she kept saying. And I'm sure if you were around her, you would have gotten tired of hearing it. You would have probably thought, does she know anything else? She kept saying. That's what we have been teaching now for all these weeks about the power of confession and the first act of faith, because faith is an act. The first act of faith is saying. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so saying is the first act of faith. If your faith won't move your mouth, it will never move your mountain. If you do not believe God enough to say what he says about you, then you don't believe what God says about you. If you don't believe God enough to say what God says about you, and that's his word, then you don't believe what he said about you. A lot of times people say, well, I believe. Well, how do we know you believe? What's your conversation like? What's your expectation? What are your words? This woman truly believed. And she settled in her heart the fact that all I need to do is get to him close enough to even touch just his garment. I don't even have to touch his physical person. If I could just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Simple faith, but oh, what power. So she kept saying, and she established with her confession her point of contact to receive. For there would come a time when the power of God would go into her and the healing would begin. It happened very quickly for her. Not everybody, even in Jesus' ministry, was healed instantaneously, but the healing process would begin when she made her point of contact. And I want you to notice something here. This is very important. She's the one that determined what her point of contact would be. And Jesus honored it. She was the one who said how it's going to be. And Jesus honored it. And you can follow that kind of a thread through the Gospels time and again when Jesus did what people asked him to do. And with the Roman centurion, Jesus volunteered, I'll come and heal your servant who was sick and near death. And he said, you don't even have to. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Jesus was impressed, and the servant was healed. I want to say this today, and this is something you'll probably hear more about in the future, but there is no shortage of power. We don't have a power problem. What we have is an authority problem and an understanding problem. If we knew what we had and we knew how to release it, then there would be no need unmet. That's a big statement, but it's true. That's how Jesus lived. He finished his course with no need unmet. And as he is, so are we in this world. A lot of Christians are begging for power when the fact is, if the Holy Spirit's inside of you, all the power you need for anything you need is already in you. What we have is not a power shortage. We have a shortage of knowledge of who we are in Christ and what our place of authority is. And that's a whole nother subject. Amen. But she made her point of contact. It was definite and specific. I'm not asking you to respond to me publicly here today, but just inside of you. How many, if I were to ask this question, how many of you came today with definite expectation to receive something? as opposed to how many came today to see what might happen, as opposed to how many came today not really caring what happens as long as it gets over with in time to have a good lunch. And maybe we could keep on going with scenarios. But you see, the only people who are receiving great blessing from God in an atmosphere like this are people who expect it and place a demand on that power. This woman placed a demand on the power of God with her faith. And her faith was manifested in two specific ways, confession and action. She confessed and she moved toward Jesus and actually did what she declared she was going to do and touched the hem of his garment. Now notice in verse 20, and let me say one more thing about verse 28. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She was looking for a complete turnaround. She wasn't ready to put up with a partial healing. You know, it's very easy, and I know I'm talking to some people here today. I don't know exactly who, but I know the Holy Ghost is speaking. It's easy to put up with some relief. A lot of people are satisfied to get a little relief. Why don't we just go the whole way and get made completely whole in Jesus' name? Why do I want just a little bit of relief from the pain? Why don't I want to get rid of the pain and what's causing it? Why do I put up with things? And you know, I want to say this as kindly as I can. I'm saying it because I do love you, and it's true. You're having what you put up with today. Some of you need to get really angry. Not at God, not at people, but you need to get really angry at the devil. And you need to maybe go in your garage, your bathroom, or your basement, or out in the woods, or wherever you can go, and you might ought to have a little bit of a shouting match with the devil. You remember the last time you really got teed off at somebody and how you raised your voice and you got all intense and your eyes got big as quarters and you began to tell them what for and read them the riot act? You need to do that to the devil. And sometimes it's necessary to raise your voice. I know some people don't like that in church, but I don't really care what they like. I know what the devil don't like, and that's what I'm more interested in, because that's exactly what I want to do, is what he doesn't like. And he does not like the voice of authority, doesn't like the voice of faith. He doesn't like a voice of joy or a voice of excitement. He wants you whining, whining, crying, moaning, groaning, and just barely whispering, you know, and soliciting the sympathy of people. You need to get all of that out of your mind. That's not how to get healed. That's not how you get a miracle. You get a miracle when you say, I don't care what happens. I don't care what anybody says, what anybody does, or what it looks like. I am going for what God said, and I am going to have what God said. Make up your mind, you're not going to do without it. And if you get mad at anybody, get mad at the devil, because he's the one who tries to withhold our blessings. So she kept saying, she said, I'm going to be made completely whole. Now think about this for a minute. Think about it. She'd been sick this way for 12 years. 12 years. I mean, that's a long time. That's a long time. And in the natural, there was nobody who could help her. And she had went to all the doctors and even went broke. I mean, you know, her problem was physical, but it's no fun to be broke. I've been there. She's not only sick, but she's broke too. And there's nobody that can help her. Can you imagine? You're in a situation and you think about all of these, supposed to be really good medical places, and I'm not saying they aren't, but I mean, you think about, you know, whatever you think is a really, like, the next step up. You know, you're not going to Lynchburg, you're going to the next step up. And, you know, you're going to Duke University or UVA, or you're going to, you know, wherever, you know, the places that people consider are a little better and higher in their whatever. I don't know. I'm getting myself mixed up here, but you know what I mean. This woman was in a place where she was sitting there and saying, I can't even go to those places. Nobody can help me. And besides, even if I could go, I'm broke. I can't pay for it. I mean, this is a bad place to be. But for Jesus. And so, she came and touched him, and the Bible says that she felt in her body that she was healed. Notice verse 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, here's the question that is the main question today. Did she believe after she felt it, or did she believe before she felt? She believed before. That's how faith works. If you're waiting till you feel it, you'll be waiting the next time we see you. If you have to have all the circumstances changed and then you'll testify and then you'll declare and then you'll speak, then you'll be waiting the next time we see you. She received first and then she felt. Now I want you to go over in the book of Mark, same book we're in now, to chapter 11. And I want to show you what Jesus said about this very thing. In Mark chapter 11, and verse 24, and this has to do with faith and prayer. This has to do with the kind of a prayer that changes circumstances, the kind of prayer that changes situations. There are many different kinds of prayer, a number of different kinds of prayer, but this is the prayer that you would use if you were believing God for a healing, or that you were believing God for finances or a job or any other thing that you might need. He says in verse 24 of Mark 11, therefore, and the therefore is there for the reason of what he has already said about having faith in God and the power of confession and speaking in verse 23. But he says, therefore I say unto you, what things, everybody say things. So he's not saying what physical things or just what spiritual things. He just says, what things soever. Now, I'm reading from the King James. That's the Bible I grew up with. And most of all memory scriptures I've ever memorized have come from that version, so I still use it. I know there are other good translations as well. But this is Old English, so we would say it differently today. Instead of saying what things soever, we'd say whatever things. Whatever things. So there's really no limit, obviously, if you can believe for it, which means the only limit is the parameters of God's word. So what thing soever you desire. Well, she desired a well body. How about you? Maybe you desire a home. Maybe you desire a job. Maybe you desire a husband. Maybe you desire a wife. You might desire any number of good and godly things. What thing soever you desire. He says, when you pray, believe. Now, I know there's a comma after pray, and I hope that you know that when you read your Bible that all the commas and punctuations were added by translators. They're not in the original. And so I would encourage you to, for the most part, to disregard that comma. Some man added it. The original says, when you pray, believe. So when am I going to believe? When am I going to believe? When I pray. And what am I going to believe? He's going to tell us that you receive them. Now, this is very bad grammar, but you'll get it. Them things. What things? Them things. That's perfectly normal grammar where I came from. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So when I pray, I'm going to believe I receive them. What's the them? The things thing I desire. So I'm going to believe I receive even before I feel it. I'm going to believe I receive it even before I see it. I'm going to believe I receive it even before anybody else tells me about it. I'm going to believe I receive based not on what I see, based not on what I feel, based only on what God has said. I believe God. Therefore, if I'm believing Him for healing, I receive my healing when I pray. My feelings will have to fall in line. And from that point on, I'm going to speak to my body. And I'm going to say things to it that align with what I believe. And that's one reason every day I quote healing scriptures. That's one reason I say every day that I shall live long. I will live strong. I will live well upon the earth. I'm going to live until I'm satisfied with long life. I'm going to live until I've finished my course. I declare these things. I say to my body how it's going to be. I speak to my body, every organ, every muscle, every bone, every cell, every nerve, every system within my body must be healed. Arteries and veins, normal, open and clear in the name of Jesus. I quote in the morning times, I like to quote from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed, rebuilt, repaired like the eagles. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for a rocking chair. I'm not looking for a casket. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for long life. I'm looking to finish my course. I'm looking to see more wonderful and good things as I walk this road. And when Jesus comes back, I'll be ready to go. And if He tarries, I'll be ready to go that way as well. But not a day before I finish my course. Thank you. I'm living long on the earth. How about you? Hallelujah. That's what faith sounds like. I'm not trying to just brag on me. I miss a lot of things. But those are the kind of things that faith says. Faith doesn't say, well, you know, my lumbago's back. You know, if you watch the old black and white westerns, you know lumbago. I don't really know what lumbago is, but it sounds bad. Rheumatiz and all of that stuff. If I had rheumatism, I'm not going to talk to you about it. Number one, you don't want to hear about it. You'll smile nicely, but you wish it would get over with. And number two, it's not going to help anything. If you can't heal me, I don't need to tell you about my troubles. Your sympathy will not fix me. It might soothe my emotions for a moment, but it will not fix me. If you're going to walk by faith, you've got to grow up. You've got to get past the poor old me and all of that business, and you've got to just be bold and look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm talking to you. Straighten up. Get a smile on your face. Put your voice in a different key. Let's talk like somebody who's believing for something besides an early grave. Oh, hallelujah. I know that's kind of hard, but it'll help you. The Lord had to deal with me about it, so I have to deal with you about it. Amen. I'm not the only one He's going to pick on. This will change you. It will change you. So faith doesn't look for a feeling, and then it knows it's got it. Faith knows it has it based on what God's Word says, and the feelings come later. If you don't get that in the proper order, your faith is not going to work. Now, this works so well for this woman that Jesus immediately, verse 30 says, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, a lot of people, you know, have some unscriptural ideas about Jesus. They have religious ideas, but not biblical ideas. And there's a whole segment of the Christian world that believes that Jesus walked around and he knew everything about everybody all the time, and that basically he was just kind of acting out scenes that, you know, he already knew everything. But they forget the fact that in Philippians chapter 2, the word says that Jesus laid aside his mighty power and glory and became a man. Yes, he was God. Don't misunderstand me. I would not belittle the Lord Jesus. He was God. But folks, he was also very man. That's the incarnation reality, that you cannot be saved unless you believe. Jesus was God. Jesus was man. And he laid aside heavenly privileges to walk among us as a man. That's why Acts 10:38 says he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. Why would God have to be anointed? The anointing is His. Well, God doesn't have to be anointed, but man needs to be anointed. So Jesus actually ministered as a minister during the Old Covenant era, as a prophet, a priest. He ministered as really an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And he had the Spirit without measure. And so in his humanity side, there were things that he would not have known about everything about everybody at that point in time. That's just how he walked the earth. And so he didn't know who touched him. That's why he asked the question. And the disciples, knowing that there were so many people around him, so many people touching him, they couldn't believe that he would ask such a question. But he looked around to see her. And evidently he had figured out by now, or she looked so much the part that he knew. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Notice she told it. When God does things for you, you need to tell it. We need to testify of the goodness of God. I believe we need more testimonies here. I know God's doing more things here than we're hearing about. It's important to tell it, because I can tell you this. The devil would like to steal your blessing. He would like, through a counterattack, to come back. You know, the devil comes around again. A lot of times people think, well, I've got victory here. And then they get all messed up in their mind when the devil attacks again. You see, if the devil got it to work once, he'll try to get it to come back. And Jesus taught us that about the devil. Evil spirits can be cast out, but they'll try to get back in. You have to fight the good fight of faith. Now, I know that there comes a time in spiritual development and spiritual growth whereby the devil realizes this is a lost cause. I'm going to give up. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to try something else. But until you get to that place where the devil is completely exhausted with trying to tempt you or hurt you or harm you, you're going to have to stand. A lot of times people think, well, I got healed, and so I guess I'll never be sick again. Well, I would say that if you live long enough, you're going to need to use your faith for healing again. And you see, the devil's thinking, well, it worked once, and yes, they got some victory, but I'm going to see if it'll work again. And he loves to watch people. The Bible speaks of familiar spirits. Those are spirits that are assigned by the devil to become familiar with us. And the devil watches for what? Remember when it says about Jesus being tempted, the devil left him for a more opportune time? The devil, through those familiar spirits, watches for opportune times. And when he sees you losing your temper, losing your patience, when he sees you in a state of confusion and aggravation, I can tell you, that will open the door for him to try to bring in some kind of other problem, including sickness and disease. It's amazing how many people have gotten sick after they got into strife, after they refused to forgive, after they got into a terrible disagreement that they wouldn't make right and get fixed. We have to be very careful that we don't open the door to the devil. Amen. And so this woman that we're talking about, she touched Jesus and received her healing, and she told it. She told it and told him all the truth. Now we're going to verse 34, and this is where we're going to close today. Verse 34. And we have much more to come in this series, so we've got some other wonderful passages to look at and examine in light of these great faith truths. But verse 34 finishes us today. And he said unto her, daughter, my power has made you whole. That's not what it says, is it? Daughter, I am totally holy. I've never committed a sin. And that's what made you whole. Daughter, I'm so anointed. I've never been in a meeting where I felt the power more than this. Ah, and I want you to know, you know, that's why you're whole.
go in peace.
That's not it at all, is it? No, he said, daughter, thy faith. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. She felt power go into her. We know it was the power of God that healed her, that did the physical work. Whatever was wrong in her body, there was a divine surgery that took place in an instant, and she was healed, and the bleeding completely stopped. The change was so dramatic, she knew, she felt, I'm well, I'm different, I'm whole. We know that that power did it, but Jesus never mentioned his power. Not in this particular case. He said, your faith hath made you whole. You see, her faith, her believing, determined what and when she would receive from Jesus. She mixed faith with that power, and it produced the miracle she needed. And I want to say again today what we began to emphasize earlier. She was no different than you and me. I'll say it again. We don't even know her name. She was not a prominent woman. Nobody came on her behalf and said she's the wife of a synagogue leader. She's the wife of a Pharisee or whatever. No. No, she was just another nameless woman in the crowd, which, by the way, was a large group of people, with most people evidently not believing for much. But she persevered. And some of you need to persevere. And when we're worshiping, you need to worship like a healed person. When we're praising, you need to praise like a healed person. Maybe your needs financial material and it looks like there's no way out. I mean, I've been there when I did not know how in the world needs would be met. I didn't know where the blessing would come from. I only had my faith. And I stand here before you today as a testimony that God will provide. I don't know what your need is, but if you'll act on the word of God, he will confirm his word. So I ask these questions as we close today. What are you believing? What scriptures are you standing on? What part of the word do you know? And if you're not great at memorization, that's fine. What have you then written down? You're serious enough to you've got these scriptures that you're staying, keeping before your eyes, and you are constantly returning that word back to God. What do you believe? And then number two, what are you saying? Now, it's easy to say good things here. If receiving miracles only required us saying the right things in church, we'd have a whole lot more miracles, wouldn't we? Because it's easy to follow along with scriptural songs and make confessions with the minister or whoever's receiving the offering or whatever it may be as they lead us and help us along with our faith. That's all easy. But it's what you do Wednesday morning. It's what you do Friday afternoon. All those days, it's so important what you say. And then number three, finally, what are you doing about what you believe? Are you making plans for failure, or are you truly making plans for healing? Well, you know, I don't know. I used to do so-and-so. I used to like to do it, but I just don't think I can do it anymore. Who said? If you plan on not being able, you won't be. If you're telling everybody it's this way, this is how it is now, you know, life's different, it's not good, that's how it'll be. You're in control of this. God's done all he's going to do about your healing. He's done all he's going to do about your miracle. I mean, the power's available. He will do the actual working that's necessary to produce what your faith will produce. But you've got to believe him. And you've got to walk by faith, not by sight. So it's important to us. Amen? Well, I know this wasn't the greatest message that you've ever heard, but this is truth. It'll change you. Father, we're grateful for the word today. Lord, we've enjoyed your presence in this place. What a powerful anointing that's been in this room. I pray that if there's anybody here today that is still on the outside looking in, they're not right with you, they're not a believer, or they're a backslider, they've walked away from the things of God, whether they're in the room or whether they're watching online, I pray that you would help them right now to say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. You took my sins and the entire curse of the law and became what I was so that I may be what you are. I believe you died for me, and I believe that you rose for me. And so I receive you now, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Take my life, use it any way you can. I'm yours. I'll serve you forever. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer and you're here, please see me or any of our ushers. We've got material we'd love to give to you. We'd like to help you in your new walk with the Lord. If you're online and you're watching and you just prayed that prayer, contact us on the information there on the screen. We'd like to bless you with some good things to help you. And we encourage you to get into a great church, a good church. Everybody needs to be in a church. You need to be connected to the body. You know, I got a pretty good finger there. It served me for 66 plus years. You know, it's done a lot of good things for me. And still pretty active. But if I cut it off, it's dead. Still the finger. It's the one I had. I can pick it up and carry it around like a rabbit's foot, I guess, and say it's mine. But it's not gonna function separated. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. All of us have a unique place, and we need to be where God puts us. If you're visiting us today for the very first time, our ushers.